This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Julian and Shaoning. We are running a poll this morning on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, would you use bike hailing in Malaysia? Do let us know what you think. We've had 40 votes so far in the 20 minutes that the poll has been opened, and 55% of them have said no, they're not going to be using bike hailing if and when it comes into Malaysia. Do let us know what you think about this. In the meantime, taking a look at some local stories this morning. According to Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng, the federal government is committed to focusing on expanding the Penang International Airport. Now, he says this expansion project is the main focus for now, even though there have been proposals to build a new airport through a private financing initiative.
He also said that anyone can make suggestions through the PFI and that the government would be up to the discretion of the government to accept those suggestions. At the same time, he also says that Penang should not be afraid of new competition and instead be confident that our respective airports are competitive.
Now, this was in response to a question by the Assemblyman Lee Kai Lun on the impact of the proposed Kulim Airport to Penang's international airport's competitiveness. Now, the Kulim Airport project estimated to cost 1.6 billion ringgit is among the seven high-impact projects that's actually been approved by the federal government for Kedah, and this is part of the plans to boost development in the North Corridor economic region. Now, this is where I get a bit confused, because I've always had the impression that the expansion of the Penang International Airport will be a project actually driven by Malaysian airports, since they are the concession holder for this airport. So now, who is actually going to drive this expansion is my question. And we originally had this regulated asset-backed model whereby the concession holders were incentivized to kind of expand the airport. So how much capex they put in to renovate or grow the airport would be kind of clawed back in terms of how much money they could make from the project. But then we had noise, right, to say that the RAB has been delayed. So I don't know what is happening, actually.
I think the RAB is being opposed by Malaysia Airports because it sort of crimps the returns. But a feature of the RAB is that you have shared capex. So if you can't afford to expand, and the government also has got certain KPIs, right, like to bring in tourism money, and the profits from tourist traffic may not necessarily go directly to the airport, but the government has an interest to actually bring tourism in. So the shared capex idea is not a bad idea under the RAB,
but I'm not sure
if MAHB wants to accept that.
MAHB wants, as far as I remember, they are quite happy with the RAB, but of course it depends on the assumptions that are imputed in the RAB and the level of internal rate of returns calculations, which is actually the weighted average cost of capital, but that's very technical. It's just the hurdle rate, right? At the end of the day, what is the hurdle rate that you need to put in before you make money?
You need to make
a reasonable amount of money.
Malaysia Airports is not a unicorn.
They want to make good old cash, no such thing as price to sales, right?
Yeah,
there's no such thing. But now there seems to be this confusion as to who's in charge of actually renovating or expanding the airport, while the reality is that Penang International Airport is maxed out in terms of capacity. You hear complaints, right, that the airport is so crowded.
Yeah, it also depends on how many gazillion dollars it takes to expand the airport. I'm sure it's not cheap.
Some government officials say the expansion might cost up to 1.2 billion. Some estimates say 700 million. You know, and now I'm questioning who's in charge.
Yeah, and of course, this isn't the only kind of revitalizing plan that's currently in the works for Penang, because there has also been some news out of the PSR project, or the Penang South Reclamation Project. Now, the Chief Minister of Penang, Chow Kon Yao, has said that the state government is working there to ensure that all the conditions set by the Department of Environment, as well as advice given by the National Physical Planning Council, all these conditions are working to ensure all these conditions are met. Now, he did also add that NGOs and DOEs are monitoring how much of the conditions the government actually meets. They set out, the state government revealed that 72 conditions were actually set out initially in their environmental impact assessment report on the PSR project, including things like compelling the state government to implement mitigation steps according to the technical advice of some of the related departments.
So this is really a question of whether you will exchange sand and clay for trains, right? because this is what's involved in the reclamation project to pay for the trains under the Penang Transportation Master Plan. And the Chief Minister argues that this will provide growth for Penang over the next few decades. So it's very controversial. People are still opposing this plan.
Yeah, I think one of the complaints or one of the issues is is how expensive the whole Penang Master Transport Plan is, and whether some of the projects, especially like the train system, whether it's the mass rapid transport or whatever, it's just too much. Is the cost to Penang State too high? And I actually had this conversation with Roger Teo. You can hear it on the Breakfast Grill.
Who's he?
He's kind of an expert on Penang transport. He's written extensively on Malaysia Kini on this, and he's passionate on this project, and he argues that maybe Penang should focus on all the low hanging fruit, going back to buses, for example, something that doesn't cost so much money.
Trams, buses, walking,
and if you build more roads, does it just eventually mean more congestion at the end of the day?
Yeah, because the concern is always when you build more highways in order to alleviate congestion, whether or not the traffic will just kind of expand to fill the extended capacity. Whereas if you provide bus systems, walking systems, trams, then you will actually be diverting people out of their cars and into alternative systems of transport. That has been one of the main, I think, criticisms of this Penang South Reclamation Project, because it's, are you building these trains just to build trains, or are you actually trying to solve the congestion problem in Penang? In which case, highways and trains might not necessarily be the best way to go about it. Now, the Fisheries Department has also been advised to look into the impact of the project on fisheries as well as the fishing community, because part of it is that it aims to create a land bank to fund the Penang Transport Master Plan, and it's scheduled to be completed between 30 and 50 years. And the Penang Fishermen's Association have been very vocal in protesting against the PSR. I mean, they were protesting in Georgetown as recently as Monday.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, the argument also is that, do you really need to do so much land reclamation when, if you look at the mainland, like to call it the mainland, which I find very funny, like in Kedah State, across the Kulim, right, just across the sea.
It is the mainland.
Butterworth is also the mainland.
It's something very quirky, I find. Anyway, so you can claim, there's lots of land there too, right?
Mm-hmm. And also the other transport related news this morning, we have had some news that motorbike hailing firm Gojek and some others are also slated to start some test runs here in Malaysia. Now, Transport Minister Anthony Lok announced that Malaysia is going to be allowing Gojek and Digo Ride to start operations in January on a limited scale, just to establish proof of concept. And this pilot program will go on for about 6 months. Now, Gojek is, of course, backed by Google, Tencent and JD.com, whereas Digo Ride is based here in Malaysia. They did operate in Johor in 2016 before they were banned by the previous administration.
So Grab, there's more competition for Grab, which is a good thing, and Grab has said in a tweet, bring it on. I think I wouldn't mind going on a motorbike ride. I have taken motorbike taxis in Thailand. I find them very, very convenient.
Yeah, the question is, I think, safety. I think everybody has that in mind as to how safe will this service be? Because let's be honest, our motorbike drivers aren't exactly the best in the world, right?
Short distance, okay lah.
But even then, how do you make sure that, that everything is going to be done properly? That the helmets will be there, they won't be speeding, they won't be, running through the red lights.
I foresee you getting a Louis Vuitton helmet, Shani, to get on your bike ride.
No, I wouldn't like it because it will, flatten my hair, guys.
Okay.
Hey, just safety trumps fashion, Sharding.
No, not only that, I'm just really scared of motorbikes. I have gone on one before, and the guy who gave me a ride is like, can you please stop screaming all the way there and all the way back? And I was like clutching him. So apparently I left claw marks on his shoulders.
No.
So yeah, I'm a little bit scared of motorbikes. So I'm not sure I'll use it, but I can really see the benefits of it. That last mile connectivity, check that box.
Yeah, for sure. And also pricing, right? Because right now the Grab cars are pretty expensive, no less because of the new regulations that are in that brings down some of the supply. But these bikes can add to the supply and also lower pricing.
I, for one, would definitely try bike hailing at least once to see how it goes. I think the biggest concern about them is just generally when we look at some of the motorbike current food delivery users that we see on the road, there are a lot of complaints over recklessness of driving, and the fear is that this will transfer into the bike hailing systems, and it'll be even worse when you actually have a passenger on the back of your bike. But I guess we will wait and see. Do let us know what you think about this on the poll we have running. But right now we're heading into the 7:30 news. But first, here are some messages, and after that we'll be back with more international stories. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.